As you can see, this point is mainly concerned with digitization. I not only would like to give you an overview about our digitization works in Monasterium, but I want to use this opportunity to show you how digitization projects general could be prepared and which things would be necessary to consider first, which technical means you need to acquire, or what to think about if you plan on starting a digitization project. The first question, which is very important question, is what is digitization all about? In fact, everybody, I guess, using a computer has at least gotten accustomed to the word digital, digital images, digital files, digital music files, everything. So in the most basic sense, digitization is just the transferring of analog data like spoken words or everything, an image on a wall or you can imagine it, into the digital world to make it available on a computer, which is the most basic thing for our modern communications via the internet and everything else. This is just a technical background. There is no need to go into that further, but it is important to remember that everything taking from analog to the digital world is in fact digitization. The second part is, which is the basic of our factual work in Monasterium and everything else like Google Books or something like that, is the process of taking a digital image of an analog object like book or a charter. This is quite similar to processes done all the time. You all probably know facsimile editions of books, where there is just some kind of mechanical copy of some older text. The problem of this is, in the internet and the technical world, this is not very useful. Just a picture is most of the time not enough, because you cannot search inside it, you cannot copy texts out of it, you cannot or can hardly put it inside the database or something like this. So what we do is a step further. A digital image is just a part of the digital representation of our digitized object. So what Karl mentioned before is the digital image and the metadata are two important points. We will get to the metadata later in a more detailed way, but whenever it's necessary, I will talk about it a little bit more in detail, because also for the taking of the digital image, which is what I'm talking about right now, you need to have at least a certain amount of data already available before digitization. So I guess this is quite clear and simple. The first question is, why do we digitize at all? Because charters were perfectly comfortable in their monastery archives. Some might say they might get damaged in the process of digitization. It is a lot of effort. Why do we do it at all? I guess everybody has at least a certain opinion about it. The most important part is, to make the data accessible to a bigger amount of people and interested persons. Because, like, the basic problem which we had at Monasterium is the charters are somewhere in a regional monastery and it's difficult to get to it. You need to have a lot of money and need to be Catholic or at least look like it. And this is the first part. The second part, which is also very important, but is takes also a certain amount of thinking before, is the preservation of the original documents. Because I don't know if you're familiar with recent archival disasters. The city archive in Cologne a few years ago crashed, and they would have been happy if they had digitized their materials before. But the problem is, you need to think first, what do you want to digitize if you want to make a safety copy of your things? Because, for example, in Charters, I don't know how much of you are accustomed to archival workings. They most of the time have additional materials packaged with them, old envelopes, sheets with additional information, all different kinds of things. And the question is, do you digitize this too? Because in some way this is important too. How good needs the quality of the image to be? Because if you want to digitize it for safety, then you are thinking about the loss of the original, and then the digital image is all you've got in the future. So it should be as good as possible, which is also a cost factor and a time factor, and you need to have to decide how good is enough for me and how much money do I want to spend, and also how much strain can I put on the object, because this also is a effect. The digitization is a certain strain on the originals, because for a charter you need to have to unfold it. It needs to be flat as possible, so you can get a decent image. So you need to have to think about it first. What do you want to achieve with the digitization at all? So these two factors, the availability and the preservation, are most of the time the important questions why we digitize. Sometimes it's for institutions to get additional money because they can show a project, but it depends. Maybe you can think about other causes for digitization, but basically most of the time these two things are the basic questions. So how does a digitization project work? I have put down six phases. You could divide the additional phases into different subphases, but it's just for a brief overview, because we cannot go very much into the details because we don't have enough time. We could hold an own seminar in 2 days or something. So at first, the first part is probably the most important part. I have already talked about it a little bit. You have to think about why do I want to digitize it, what do I want to digitize, and in which way do I want to do it. The first question is, of course, which materials do I use for digitization. For example, if I'm a big national archive or library, I would have a lot of different opportunities, and I didn't need to decide, do I want to make a smaller project for to try it out, or do I want to make a special valuable book or something. The second part is, do I want to make the digitization work myself? Do I need to buy any equipment, rent it, I need to rent additional spaces or something? Or do I want to give a job to an external company or something? This is something you need to have to decide on your own, because it depends on a lot of different factors. The main advantage of a separate company is that you can at least most of the time rely on it, and that they have a certain expertise on the field already. If you're doing it yourself, you need to either contact Icarus so we can help you with the digitization preparation and everything else, or you need to hire some staff, or you have already a photographic department or something. You need to organize all of this. You need to think about equipment to buy, and I will go into this also later. But the first phase is actually the most important, the what and the why. So I've summed the questions. As you can see, we are trying to record all this, and you can later download the file from the internet. Also, you can see the PowerPoint presentation. So things like this, you don't need to have to write down or something. I already said it. What, why? Next part is the concerning the metadata. I will go to that soon. And safety precautions is different things also. So the first part is, where do I make the digitization? Can people go in there? Because if you digitize valuable documents, I don't know, you need to make sure that nobody takes something away or something. The second safety consideration is how do I protect my originals from being damaged during the digitization? Do I need to have a conservator ready to overview, supervise the works, or maybe if you're, for example, digitizing more modern books or documents, then maybe this is not such a big concern, but you have to think about it first. And yeah, I already said it about the companies. And the last one is the question, what do I want to do with the digital object? Do I want to store it in some long-term conservation digital archive? Do I want to put it on the internet? Do I, a few years ago, it was on Vogue to make some DVDs or CDs with the images on it. I don't think they do it anymore, but except the Hungarians maybe. But yeah, you have to think how to publish the data or how to provide access to them or to protect them. Because if you just make a digitization for safety of the originals, then you need also to store the digital objects in a safe place, because otherwise it would not have a point at all. Yeah, these are the basic questions. Do you have any basic questions to this? Or do you want to add something? It depends, because it's not a fault if you make long-term preservation anyways, but it's also a cost factor, and you have to design it to be, if it's really a long-time archive, there are certain standards which have to be met and technical background, and not every institution has enough money for this. So you have to think about it, because, for example, if it's just a smaller project with images for the internet, which are not of a certain quality, maybe it's enough to put it on a few separate hard disks and check it sometimes. But this is not a long-term storage solution. This is a special technical term, which I cannot get into in detail, because it's also very complicated, and also I'm not an expert on it. But you need to have the enough money for it, and it's not always necessary in this special case. It doesn't hurt, but you can maybe decide on it, because sometimes the images are in a way that you think about it, that you retake them in 10 years anyway, because you think maybe with a new technology or something, because you didn't have enough money for it. With charters, it's a little bit of a problem, because you don't want to do it all the time, but if you have just some modern books, it depends on what you want to do. But, yeah.
What is the structure of metadata? And how do you link the metadata and image from inventory to image?
We will get to that later, because when we try it out in the practical Monasterium database, you will see how it's done in our case. There are different ways to do it, but we will have a separate part where we can discuss it a little bit if you like.
What is the tool for digitization?
The tool?
The scanner.
We will get to that. There are different possibilities.
Patience.
So, also part of the technical, so the initial reflections are like this. So, if you have decided what do you want to digitize, you also have to decide how you want to do it, in which way. I have summed up the most important considerations. It's just a brief overview. The image format, I think everybody is accustomed with different types of images are there, which are the disadvantages of JPEG, TIFFs, and so on. basically, the better the image, the larger the size of the image is. So, for example, when we digitize the charters for the Monasterium project, we use a scanner, and the biggest images available, which are format A1, and we digitize with a value of 400 dots per inch. I can tell you later what that means if you want. The files are 400 megabyte in size. It's not practical to use them in an online database because if you sit there and wait for 400 megabytes to download just to check if it is a charter you need, it takes forever. So most of the time you will need different images format for different purposes. I have put here the three most widely used formats in this digitization format. TIFF is, like you could say, the biggest format. It is they are all rasterized image formats. Also, every dot from the image is stored. So I don't know if you are accustomed to the word pixel. It's the separate dots an image is made of, and there are different formats. But for digitization, we normally, also for images, we use the raster formats, which is the most widely used for the internet is JPEG, because it has a quite good compression algorithm, so you can make the 400 megabyte images circa 2 megabyte large, and it still nearly looks like the TIFF image. It is very good for the storage in the internet, but the problem is if you later on want to make some changes to the image, then it gets very bad very quickly. So for safety purposes, you would need to store the some kind of original images which are as high quality as possible, but then you run soon into the problem of storage spaces if you digitize a lot of charters. For example, I yesterday checked how much server space we are using for our TIFF images, and these are 40 terabyte or something. So it's not for the, I think, 200,000 charters was the first. So if you want to store TIFF images, you will need to make room on your server or wherever you want to store it. JPEG is gives you the ability to make the images more small, but without possibilities for future reuse of the image to transcode it into a different format or cut something out of it. Yeah. The third, which we don't use, but maybe at some time in the future, it's JPEG 2000. It's also a compressed image format, but it's there are two kinds of compression, lossless and lossy. it's a technical term. With the other one, also with the lossless, you can make the image smaller without losing any information. With the other one, it's also the same which we use at MP3 files. Things you won't be hearing or seeing can get cut from the image. So this is called lossy compression. So you cut something out of the image which you cannot put in later on. So I don't know if you get the difference. The problem is with a lossy compression, you cannot reuse it later for different parts. And JPEG 2000 provides some kind of lossless compression. You can not make it as small as with the normal JPEG, but you can still reuse it for some purposes later. Yeah. The second part is overall image quality, which is quite obvious. Yeah, the better the image, the better. So there are different kinds of your technical specifications which you might run into when you consider buying a scanner or a digital camera or something like this. The most important parts are three. I forgot to put it on the PowerPoint presentation. Three different parts of specifications. The first one is DPI, dots per inch, which is most widely used with scanners. Maybe you are accustomed 300 DPI for, I don't know, these flatbed scanners, which you can buy for office use or something. I think maybe most of the time have 300 dots per inch or something, which means if you have an object which has, 3 and 4 inches, you get a certain amount of dots on it. So it is a constant image ratio, because the scanner guarantees you when you have an image which is 1 inch, you get 300 dots on this inch. If it is 10 inches, you get additional 300 dots on every additional inch. So it doesn't matter how big the document is, the resolution is always the same in the way that it guarantees you a certain amount of detail, not depending on how large an image is. The opposite is the case when you consider a digital camera. You are familiar with a megapixel, which means just how much pixels you have on the image sensor of the camera. Which means the larger the object you want to digitize gets, the worse the image gets, because you just have a fixed amount of dots for the whole image. So if you are considering digitization of small, for example, like this, a digital camera would be perfectly enough. Also, if you, for example, want to make a digital seal collection or something, 3D objects are also rather good with a digital camera and not so much with a scanner. But if you have, for example, when we digitized the charters for Monasterium, they range from very small to very large. So when we would digitize it with a camera, we would have the problem that the large images would be a lot worse than the small. So for a project like this, when you don't know how large the objects get and they vary in size a lot, you might consider a scanner, but it's difficult to tell in front, because it depends quite a lot on which kind of things you are digitizing. So, but the most important part is scanner are constant in the resolution, not depending on how large the image is, because if the image gets a bit bigger, it just scans longer and the file gets bigger, which is not the case with the digital camera. So one of the most important questions is, do I use a scanner or a digital camera? Then the question of the storage space, I already talked about it, so I will not talk about it anymore here. Also the question of the long-term storage, it depends a lot on what amount of money you have available and what you want with your project. The last part is also very important. How do you name the files? Of course, you have to decide before you start the project, because you cannot change it, or it's not advisable to change it during the process of the scanning. I will also get to the details of this a little bit later. Just it is something you have to decide before you start the scanning. Yeah. Here I just have summed up the things I talked about with images of the parts. Maybe this might look similar like this scanner to you, but it isn't. Here is a digital camera. But what this illustrates is, if you use a digital camera, you also need to have some sort of tripod or thing to put the camera on, and also need to make sure that the lighting is good enough for the object. So this would be the scanner we most of the time use for the Monasterium charters, and this we used for certain historical books, which we also digitized for a different project. It depends on what you wanna digitize, so you have need to decide before. You can also ask us if you want. So the question of the metadata, just how it is important for digitization. This does not concern all the metadata you might want to produce for your digital objects. This is just what do you need to have available before the digitization and what is necessary for the digitization. The important part is, if you give an image a file name, it needs to be something you can identify later on, because otherwise you might end up with a lot of files not knowing which original they belong to. So you need to make sure, for example, in the case of charters, that you at least have some signature or some date and which archival font the document belongs to, so you can later on, when you look at the file, say with what means soever which original this belongs to, because otherwise you might have to do a lot of additional work. So what you need from the metadata have available beforehand is some way to identify it. There are different ways to do that. I will get to that later on when I talk about the file names, but the important part is it needs to be available before the digitization. So you should at least make sure that you know what you want to digitize. So most of the problems in digitization we run into in different archives is when they just give you a certain font and don't know what exactly is in it, because with charters it's very often like this, that different charters might have the same date. If they don't have a special signature, then you might end up with a lot of files which would have the same name and you wouldn't know which it belongs to. So you need to make sure at first that the fonts are at least structured to a certain amount, and the best part would be if it would be already structured in some sort of database or technically available file, so you could put it on the computer at the scanning station, so that the persons digitizing would have all the details available which they need for the digitization. Because otherwise, which happens sometimes, they need to make up information. For example, if there are two documents with the same date, you need to write something like A or B after the image, and later there is work to do figuring out which images, which documents these images belong to. So yeah, this is the important part concerning metadata and digitization. You need to be able to identify the image. Yeah, also afterwards you should not change the file names, because for example, if you would take part in the Monasterium project, then we would get the images, and also the images would be stored in your database, and if you would make changes to the file names later on, then you would get a mess very quickly. So file names are something which shouldn't be changed after they are set. So everything needs to be as good as possible before the digitization starts. Yeah, this is basically the metadata part of the digitization. Yeah, then we get to the actual physical preparations. Here you can see a little bit image where the so one of our scanners is put right now. This is Munich, the Bayerisches Hauptstaatsarchiv. As you can see, you need enough space, which concerns tables for preparation of the documents, a certain space to move, to put the scanner. You can see this is the A1 scanner I mentioned before. It's not so small, so we already had problems in small monastery archives where the ceiling is not high enough, and yeah, it can be difficult. So you need to make enough room for the digitization equipment which you chose beforehand, which I guess is quite clear why you need it. The second part is it should not be somewhere where a lot of sunlight might shine into. For example, if you would digitize here, I don't know if in the afternoon direct sunlight would light in the room, you would get problems with the images, because you can adjust to every light condition, but when it changes over the day, you need to have to make adjustments all the time. You get pictures with strange colors in it, and you get a lot of additional work which is unnecessary. And the one of the most important part for digital work is you need to have enough power outlets for all equipment, which also sometimes is a problem in, for example, in monastery archives, because sometimes it's, for example, in Kempsmünster in Austria, you are in some cellar where they just put a few electrical wires recently, and they are not very safe and stable, and it can be, you need to make sure that you don't have any power losses and maybe an images vanish or something like that. So a reliable power source should be mandatory. So these are the most important parts just for the physical preparation of the digitization. One additional part which I also forgot to put up is you need to make sure that the sources are in a condition you can even digitize it. For example, if you need to make some sort of preservations to them because the conservator says no, you cannot put them on the digitization table because the book binding is brittle or something like that, you need to make sure before you start the digitization that you can actually digitize the material, because otherwise you might either damage the material or have a lot of unnecessary waiting periods or something like that. So the sources need to be prepared in some way too. For example, in the Austrian State Archives, the House of Staatsarchiv, all the medieval charters are in one big collection called Allgemeine Urkundenreihe. And with this collection you would have the problem if you just put the charters out when you digitize it, you would have to search for them beforehand. It would also take a lot of time, which you couldn't, for example, if you hired the company, they would stand around waiting for you to bring them the source material. So you need to make sure beforehand that when the digitization starts, you can get the material as quickly as possible to the digitization work and remove it already safely, because if we would be in some room where it gets warm in summer, maybe it's not so good for the source material. You need to make sure that this also is not that they don't take any damage from being stored there overnight. Maybe it's not safe. For example, in this room which I showed before. Wie geht's Druck? Okay. Sorry. For example, this is actually an exhibition room of the archive. Nearly everybody can go in and out if it is not locked all the time. So you need to make sure that there are no problems when you want to stay it overnight, so store it overnight. Maybe you need to have put the documents back in some archive or something like that. You need to make sure that these physical preparations are done before, so you know what you're doing. Okay, so here you can see some actual digitization work. This is Robert, he will marry next week. The most important part here is you need to consider the better the quality is, the slower the digitization gets, which also is something you need to decide before you start the digitization, how good do the images need to get. The second problem we also are facing a lot is some documents, especially charters or some books, which I'll show you an example later, cannot really be prepared that good, so you get the ability to be quickly and have a very good image quality, because you need to be very careful with, as you can see here, the charters are sometimes very big and are folded, and you need to unfold them and need to make this very carefully so you don't break something or rip a seal off or whatever, it would be dangerous. So you need to consider how long do you want it to take, or how long is it possible to take. For example, if you need a room or something and to just have it available for a certain amount of time, the rule of thumb is you need to check beforehand which kind of material you're digitizing, because when you know what it is, you can make at least a guess how quickly you can work with it. So one of the biggest problems we are facing in digitization concerning the speed and the time which is available is when the archive we are digitizing in is not has not checked the documents beforehand, and we don't know what kind of documents are in reality. For example, when you know charters, you know that they get bigger as later they are produced. For example, we have middle-aged charters, we always take the front and the back of the charter, are two pictures per charter, and in the modern times are three pictures per charter in the Durchschnitt. Is that Durchschnitt? Yeah. And average. So when you are digitizing Baroque charters, you need to think that it takes, one and a half as long as it would take you to digitize a medieval charters. And if you don't know it beforehand, it can take a few months more than you thought about it at first. So what I want to stress here is check the things before you want to start to digitizing. Look at least through a certain amount of it, so you have an idea what is actually in the font you're digitizing. Because especially in historical archives, sometimes you don't really know what is inside some font. And for digitization, this can be a lot of additional work, which you cannot calculate beforehand. For example, if you need to hire a company to do it, the costs could be a lot more than you at first thought it would. So it is important to check it beforehand. Yeah, I already talked about the storage during the night. How much people you need, it depends on, like you can guess on which source materials you are digitizing. For example, with books, you just need one person because he or she would be doing the flipping of the pages and not a lot of different things. But for example, here with the charters, we had one colleague preparing the charters and one colleague digitizing it. And in some fonts, it would be good if we had even three persons. It depends really a lot on which kind of charters you have. For example, if it are charters which are just small one sheet things, like in the late Middle Ages with paper charters, then one people might be enough. But if you have some, like in the Swiss monastery of Einsiedeln, they have a lot of Ottonian charters which are very delicate to handle and very valuable, then you need to have at least two persons, maybe three, if you need to have to get a lot of things from the archive very quickly. You need to calculate it before, think about it, try it out. It also depends very much. And yeah, the delivery of new sources, who gets in the archive, who is able to get in the archive, maybe you need some sort of key, a company might not be allowed to do it. For example, in some state archives, like in the Czech state archives, there is only one or two persons allowed to go in the storage tresor where they store the most valuable charters. So you need to make sure that the person who needs to get the charters is already not on holiday or something. So think about this too. There's a lot to think about. But yeah. And one of the most important parts is certainly quality control, especially if you are hiring a company. The most common problem is that some parts get forgotten. For example, when we digitize charters, we always, like I told before, digitize the front and the back of the charter. And if there are two persons and they are naturally speaking with each other, sometimes you just forget one part of the image. And you need to think about it, what you do in this case. Are you able to check every charter? Because if there are a few thousand pieces, it might not be possible to check everything. So you need to make at least sure that the person is aware of the problems and knows what they have to check for. We've in the monasterium, for example, I wrote a program which can check if you forgot some parts. It's very simple, but it depends. Also, you need to make sure that you know what you're doing if something is missing, because if it is some certain historical documents, it might not even be available to take it out a second time to make different pictures. For example, we are traveling around with the scanner a lot, and if we are in some monastery, it would look very bad if we come 2 weeks after we left, said, we forgot this and that, and could we please have all the things again? So, you need to make at least sure that you try. Accidents and things forgetting, it will happen. It's naturally, but you need to be aware of the problem that it can happen, and what you will be doing if you check it later on. And the last part is the question: what are you doing with the images directly? Because most of the cutting of the image or the creation of some different file formats are rather easy when you are still using the original software of the scanner, because most of the time they have certain mechanisms to make different file formats or cut something, and it might be very difficult later on to edit, because we, for example, with charters, because they have a lot of different sizes, you need to cut away a certain amount of white space. For example, if we would take here the whole picture, all this space would take up a lot of unnecessary file space. So we need to cut out the images. It might not be necessary, it depends on which documents you are digitizing, but you also have to think about it, when do you finish it. The best thing would be, most of the time, if when the images are leaving the scanner table, that virtually speaking, they are finished. So you don't have to touch them again, because the more often you touch them, the more accidents will happen. Because somebody makes an error with saving, somebody is cutting something away. The less steps are necessary, the better. So if it is possible, think before you start the digitization, what will you do with the images? It also depends on, for example, if you hand out a job to a company, they might charge you a lot for this post-processing, and you might decide that you do it yourself because you have some student workers who can work very cheap or something, I don't know. So this is also something which has to be decided. And here you can see different examples. Just want to get you an idea. You will see the monasterium pictures later on additionally, but you can see here you either have a flat surface or some sort of book anyway. Maps are flat, images are flat, books are not so flat. There are different objects similar to books which are also not flat. You would need different equipment, because, for example, you can see here the writing is inside the book fold. If you're digitizing medieval books, it might be very tightly bound, so you cannot really open it very much. And with the scanner I showed before, for example, it would need to be flat, and it might not be possible with some digital objects. You might need something like this, for example. It depends on the type of material you're digitizing. And as you can see in the example of this book, it might not be possible at all to get everything, because as you can see here, it's like this, and it is really not because it is bound so tightly, because as you can see, it opens really nice and it's lying very flat, but they just wrote very much inside the book fold. And there are certain scanners which you could use, which are like a thing you stick into the book, but this is also not advisable for a lot of types of historical documents, because, for example, if it is a medieval book with illustrations, you might not be able to touch the surface at all. So something like this would also not be possible. So what you need to think about is it even really possible to digitize the book or the document? For example, with charters, sometimes you have really damaged charters, which, you need to decide, do I really want to do it, or is it better if I don't? And this is something, so we have to digitize it, but we will have this loss inside here. We cannot, at this point, really do anything about it, because it's just like the original is. So this is something, with every digitization, it might not be possible to get everything. Another example would be here with the charters. You very often have a plicker, and under the plicker, especially if it is late medieval paper charters, there might be some remarks of the chancellery right under the thing where the seal is. It's best that you might not be able to digitize this special part. You can digitize everything else. And with monasterium, as you can see here, it is folded up a little bit, so we can see the last line. We can do a certain amount of things, because we try to at least to document everything. Even if it would not be sharp, you can at least see here is something. But in special cases, even this is not possible, because if I if I already sometimes writing is inside the parchment, which the seal is faster, this also is very difficult to digitize. You might get an image with a digital camera, but if you make, as we could say in Austria, an extra boost for everything special, then it will take a lot of more time. So you think about this also. What do I do in case something is not be possible to digitize? Do I just, for example, a thing like this, it would be the perfect place to write it in the metadata. So you can, so you have a documentation in some document where it states writing under the plica. So even if you don't see it on the image, you can at least know it is here. So this is one of the parts why metadata is very necessary in case of digitization. Yeah.
What do you do with
It depends. We also have, as you can see here, here is a glass plate, and if it is longer, you can put it down. But it depends on the type of the charter. If it is too brittle to be under the glass plate, or we don't use it with charters at all, with seals at all, for example. But with Rotulus, it might be the best way. We already made some. Because if it is more long than the scanner, you can take different pictures and you put it under the glass plate. So it depends if you are allowed to do it from a conservation standpoint, but if you are allowed, then it's no problem. Because with the glass plate, it's quite comfortable, actually. Do you have any additional questions? Because I forgot to ask. Yeah, maybe later. Yeah. Then we get to one of the last points, the question of the actual name of the file, which I mentioned before is an important point because you don't want to change it later on. So you have two different possibilities. I put them opposite each other. Also, there is some sort of mixing of both possible. It is the concept of a human readable file name. Here you can see HaHa ist der Eis, the Viennese Haus- und Staatsarchiv, the font which I mentioned before, Allgemeine Urkundenreihe, and some random date, and the R means Recto. So you can, if you hand out the image to some user, he knows which it is, which charter it actually belongs to. You can see it's easy to read and to share. It's very comfortable if you need to give it out to some persons. But the problem is, especially when you're digitizing medieval documents, especially charters, you might make a mistake with the date because even if it's not really clear, or the person who digitizes it types the wrong number by accident, and you get tempted very easy to change it later on when you find some mistakes. And as I said before, it would be better if you wouldn't change the file name later on, because all changes should be made in some sort of metadata, because the image file name is just a name, not the historical accurate data, because you might all the time make mistakes. But still, it's for us humans, it's a little bit better, because we can, if we have different charters, we can at least say, this is this picture and this is that. The other part would be, this is some sort of random number. You could use an UUID or something. You can very quickly add it to if you, for example, have your charters or your documents in some sort of database, you can add programmatically some random number to it, and just add this as an image file name. It has the opportunity that you are not tempted to change it. It is completely enough to identify the image if it is already in a database, but the problem is you don't understand anything. If you have two images and need to decide which one you take home or which you already saw, then you might not be able to tell it from the file name. So in some chart, in some archives, they are using a combination of two. The computer software just looks at the last part and you can make changes at the first part like you want. But this also has the problem that you need to make copies of two image names, which also is more prone to failure. So the less steps, the better. This number you would also not type in by hand. You need to have it in some sort of electronic format. You just copy and paste it with the digitization, because you really need to make sure that you don't make any mistakes, because this is hard to fix later on. If you need to find out which charter you gave the wrong file name, and you cannot even understand which one is one. So you need to make really sure that you don't make any mistakes. For example, in some archive, the IT department made a small program for us with all the metadata inside. They can load it from a file, and we just need to click on a button, and it would copy the complete file name automatically in the Zwischenablage, I don't know the English word from the computer, when you do copy and paste, where the thing gets stored. You don't need to click Steuerung C, you just need to click on this button, and it gets the appropriate number out. You can put it inside the scanning program, and it jumps automatically to the next document, so you don't make a lot of mistakes, because when you are copying things from an Excel table or something, you might miss the right line, or you don't copy the complete file name or something. Errors like this will happen if you do something like this. So it's difficult to decide which approach you take, but we made a human readability choice, because it's not necessary for us to change the name of the data later on, because all changes we are making is in the metadata. And you need to be aware that the file name is just a file name, and not, also the thing that's important is what is in the database, and not in the file name. So the file name is translated from something with meaning in just a file name. But this is also something you have to decide for yourself, or most of the time your IT department will decide, or maybe you already have some sort of policy on file naming. But it's best to stick to the thing you did all the time, if you already made some digitization projects or have a database or something like that. Because as you're aware, changing things like signatures all the time is not a good idea. You just should stay the same, and doesn't matter. Do you have any questions for this file naming problem? Yeah, this is something I already mentioned. I just wanted to put it here. The things you do after the digitization, even during the digitization, after the digitization, but also if after the whole project is finished. Do you need to store it in some certain folders? Do you need to get the files to some IT department or somewhere? What do you do if you find out you did miss some images, the project is already finished? This is also a good thing to plan before you start the digitization, what you're doing after you're finished. So all the steps which weren't possible during the digitization, you need to take afterwards, especially if you handed out the contract to a company, because you might just get some hard disk with images on it without any additional data or something. It depends on how you prepared everything. So that's it basically.